was wonderful. Thank you, ladies. That blessed my heart. What a blessing. Thank you for coming out tonight. Amen. You probably put your snow chains in the back and wore your steel cleats. Amen. But I appreciate you coming out. It's a good crowd tonight. And God's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. Been so good to us. One of these days, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Boy, that's going to be a great, great day. And sure glad that you're here tonight. Well, if you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of 2 Timothy and the chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading. We'll start with, we're just going to go ahead and look at verse number 1 just to kind of get really the context here. And please go by the table, and probably it's more of just a resource. Most everything on there really is free. And got to some sample tracks. I've written a couple of tracks that I feel do a very good job. One of them is on baptism. And I designed that track. I wrote it so that a Sunday school teacher could use it as a follow-up when they're making a visit, like maybe a Sunday school teacher or somebody like that, to follow up on a child, explaining to a parent on baptism. And then, of course, I've got a track there called Have You Made Your Reservation for Heaven? And I feel it does a very good job at getting people lost. A lot of the verses that I use are a little bit different than we'd normally use, presenting the plan of salvation. But it takes that thought, and it just really does, I feel like it does a very good job at, you know, really helping folks see that they have a need. Amen. Nobody ever gets saved till they get lost. And so stop by the table, pick up a couple of those tracks. Maybe you've been witnessing to somebody. Maybe the Lord will use these verses to open up their hearts and minds or strike up an interest. And then we have a calendar there about the radio station, and it gives you the dates. You can pray for us about the fundraising and the different things that we do throughout the year. And so please come by the table. I'll be back there if you want to have any questions for me. And then we've got a stack of these cards here. And we call them invitation to listen cards. And it's got all the different ways on how you can listen to the radio station. Of course, 89.7 out of West Union, 96.7 here in Clarksburg. And then it gives the website. And we have a very strong listening audience on the internet also. And then it has a real simple little plan of salvation on the back. And you can just give these out and say, I just want to invite you to listen to this gospel radio station. And we got the sweetest music this side of heaven, amen? Good programming like Unshackled and things like that. That we have one of our listeners, I've never met this person, but I don't think I've ever talked to him, but if there's ever an issue with the Unshackled, you know, it airs every night at Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock. If there's ever an issue with it, we get a call at 9:05, amen, letting us know that, hey, that Unshackled didn't play, and did you stop playing it? No, we just messed up somewhere. Amen. But anyway, check us out. Have you found your place? If you found your place, would you stand with me if you're able to? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading to you with verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Can you imagine what a blessing that must have been to Timothy to hear the Apostle Paul say, Son, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And you know, we need to pray for each other. There are a lot of things that come into our lives that they're so personal, really, that we would never share them. And we need to pray for each other. I can think of a couple of times where I had some laymen that said to me, Brother Oliver, I love you and I appreciate your ministry. And I want you to know, as long as I'm alive on this earth, I'm going to pray for you every single day. And man, that is such a blessing to me. Well, Paul said to Timothy, son, I'm praying for you. Amen. We need to be determined to pray for each other. Look at verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Boy, isn't that good? My soul. I'd like to just keep reading, but I want to get to do some preaching here. I want to draw your attention tonight. Look at it. Verse number 5. He's talking about unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I want to preach about that tonight. Unfeigned faith. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, we come this evening asking, dear God, for help from heaven, Lord. We pray now that you'll speak to my heart and speak to these. We pray that you'll just, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Lord, we know that the Christian life, faith, we know that without it we can't even please you. So we pray tonight that you would do a great, great work on our faith. Strengthen us, encourage us. Dear God, fill us with faith. Lord, may it be evident about the decisions that we make and the mentality that we put into our life. Help us, we pray. Save the lost, reclaim the backslider, revive the Christian, refresh us in the things of God tonight, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. Years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting in Parkersburg, West Virginia. I don't even remember the particular church it was that I was holding a meeting in. But I was doing some door-to-door visitation, door-to-door soul winning. Amen. And by the way, don't ever let anybody tell you that door-to-door soul win don't work anymore. The reason it doesn't work for them is because they don't do it. Amen. As far as I can tell, if we're going to receive the pattern from the New Testament, we're supposed to go door-to-door. Now, it's not the only way to do it, but it definitely is one of the ways to do it. Amen. And if we don't do it, there's some people that are never going to get a gospel witness. Amen. So we need to be a part of that. I was knocking on some doors, and an older man came to the door, and I began to talk to him and invited him to the revival meeting, and then I began to witness to him. And I'll never forget, and this has been many, many years ago now, but he made a statement to me. He says, "I'll get saved when I feel like I can live it like Charlie lived it." Now, I don't know who Charlie was, but whoever Charlie was, he must have been a real Christian. That old man said, "When I can live it like Charlie lived it, then I'll get saved." Well, the truth is, he's not going to live it until he gets Jesus in his heart, amen, in his life. And then all of that will be made real to him. But the point is, he saw something in that dear saint that was real. And really, that's what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in the passage here. Look at it once again. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." The apostle is saying this to Timothy. The unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And then Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, I am persuaded that in thee also. So I want to talk to you tonight about this unfeigned faith. The Apostle Paul just didn't make a mention of faith that he saw in Timothy, but he said, Timothy, what I see in you is unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. What does it mean to have unfeigned faith? Well, it means faith that is not counterfeit. In other words, it's real faith. We hear a lot about fake news, you know, fake news and all that kind of stuff. Amen. There's fake gospels and there's fake churches and all kinds of things. But the Apostle Paul was saying, Timothy, what I want to talk to you about, it's not hypocritical faith, but it's not counterfeit faith, but it's real faith. He said, son, it's real. It's sincere. And by the way, if you remove un from unfeigned, all you have is feign, which means to invent. It means to imagine. It's an imaginary faith. So he says, Timothy, what I see in you is not something that's counterfeit. It's not something that's just imagined. It's not something that you're just kind of hyper, kind of like conjuring up. He said, son, what I see in you is real faith. The word a feign, it means to, it's really where we get the idea or the concept, something not being real. It's where we get the word fiction from. Paul says, son, what I see in you, it's not fiction. It's not made up. But what I see in you, son, it's real faith. Now, as I said yesterday, people are watching us. They're looking at us. And listen, whether we want to or not, they're going to pass judgment on us whether our faith is feigned or unfeigned, whether it's real faith or whether it's fake faith. And I guarantee you, listen, if you got the real deal, if you got salvation through the blood, amen, saved by grace through faith, then it ought to be real faith. And somebody ought not be able to see holes in it or fakeness about it. The Apostle Paul, the great apostle, is pointing out this real life faith of Timothy. He testifies of Timothy. He says, Timothy, your grandmother. He said, I remember her. He said, your grandmother, you see this faith that I'm talking about, that I see in you, unfeigned faith. He says, as a matter of fact, I saw it first in your grandmother Lois. He said, your grandmother Lois, she was a real Christian. A real Christian. And then he says and continues on and he said, son, I saw it in your mother Eunice. She possessed the same unique unfeigned faith. You know, I never knew my grandfathers. Both of them passed away before I was able to remember. But I heard my mom tell the story about her dad. And my mother was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, that area. And there was a Roman Catholic priest that got born again that became burdened for the Spanish-speaking people that were living in San Antonio. And he came as like a home missionary and began to witness to the Spanish-speaking people. And he led my grandfather to the Lord. Now, I don't remember. I never had the chance to meet him. But I knew my grandmother, and I'm telling you, my grandmother, she had unfeigned faith. I mean, listen, she was an old school kind of a Christian. I mean, she was unbelievable. I mean, I remember her at 80, 85 years of age, and she never sat around. I mean, what took me and my two brothers to do, to rake the backyard, you know, my dad, he was a part of that generation where he believed that kids ought to work. Amen. And you didn't even get paid for working around the house back in those days. I mean, what'd take us a week to rake, my little 85-year-old grandmother could do it in a couple hours. I mean, she was just a little ball of fire. And as a matter of fact, she was a Southern Baptist, and she thought everybody outside of the Southern Baptist was spurious Baptist. Amen. She's in heaven now, and she knows better. Amen. And she's an independent now. Amen. But anyway, she was a neat kind of lady, loved her Bible. She was a student of the Scriptures, and she had unfeigned faith. And folks, listen, I hope it can be said of us, unfeigned faith Timothy, your faith reminds me of your mama's faith. Son, your faith reminds me of your grandmother's faith. I knew her, and she was a real Christian. She had unfeigned faith. As a matter of fact, my grandfather on my mother's side was a lay preacher. He used to preach in jails and prisons and then in the San Antonio area. They didn't necessarily know about soul winning like we are taught now. And so my mother didn't get saved as a young lady, got saved a little bit later on in life. Her and my dad got saved because of the ministry of the Open Door Baptist Church. But boy, God did something real. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this unfeigned faith. So Timothy, Paul says, I knew your grandmother and she was a real Christian. He says, I knew your mother and she was a real Christian. And it's a blessing to have a spiritual heritage. Amen. But with the blessing comes a tremendous responsibility. Amen. And those of us that lead and those that follow. Amen. Those that follow, I think it's important, amen, to understand that, listen, somebody's paved the way for me. Amen. Somebody's paved the way. Somebody has chosen the old time religion. Somebody has chose to do it with prayer and soul winning and believing and hard work. Why do I want to change it? Unfeigned faith. You see, the point to be made is that the great apostle Paul said to Timothy, son, what I see in you is unfeigned faith. I am persuaded in thee also. But you know, this unfeigned faith that Paul had, it had to have a beginning. There had to be a place where, you know, you had to believe in Christ to be saved. That's the most important thing. There's a friend of mine now, he's pastoring a church up in Pennsylvania. Tells an amazing story about the day that he got saved. He said they were members of a church in Indiana, and they took a couple of busloads of teenagers to the Bill Rice Ranch. It's been many years ago. And they got down to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and man, a bunch of teenagers there. And they traveled all day to get there and got in their bunks on, you know, Monday afternoon, and then had the service that night. It was a good service. And then they had some time at the snack bar, and then the kids were dismissed to go to their bunkhouses. And my friend that told me this story, he said, my leader, my counselor, got us all together, and he said, boys, he said, we're praying that God is going to give us a great week this week. He said, and we're just asking God to do something great. We need a revival in our youth group, and you're it. And, well, let's just pray that God does something. So he said, but before we go to prayer, he said, I want to hear your testimonies. I want to know how you got saved. He said, we'll start right over here. And my friend who's telling me this story said, he said, pointed to my friend, and he said, now he was supposed to give his testimony that he got saved. So he gave his testimony, and the counselor said, oh, son, that's wonderful, son. Isn't that wonderful to be saved? And then he said, how about you? And then my next friend right next to him, he gave his testimony. And the friend that's telling me this story here, he says, man, he said, I got a testimony of salvation, but it ain't really salvation. He said, I knew I was lost, and I could fake it. You know, we're talking about real faith. He said, I knew I could fake it, and I just couldn't. What am I supposed to do, just tell everybody right there that I'm a fake? He said, so finally when it came to me, I gave my little story about where I, you know, how I supposedly got saved, and it was enough to fake everybody out. Amen, son, that's wonderful. Then he went to the next person. And gave his testimony, and everybody gave their testimonies. And my friend said, man, I'm glad that's over with. Boy, I'm sure we won't have to do that again. Well, they went to bed that night, got up the next day, and all kinds of exciting games and delicious camp food. I mean, it was just delicious. All these kids wanted seconds and thirds. That's supposed to be a joke, folks. Amen. But anyway, you know, they enjoyed all the games and good services and went to church that night. It was just a good service that night. And now the kids had the time at the little snack bar, and then they were dismissed to go back to their bunkhouses. So he gathered together and he says, guys, let's have prayer. God's doing something great. Good service tonight. Wow, boys, this is a great week. It's going to be a great week. Let's have prayer and let's go to bed. So they all gathered nearby. He says, boys, those testimonies last night. Oh, he said, they blessed my heart so much. Oh, I just love hearing your stories about how you got saved. I want to hear them again. So my friend says, oh, brother, I can't believe he's going to make us do this. So he pointed to this friend. He said, all right, go ahead and give your testimony. And he gave his testimony how he got saved. And the next one gave his testimony. And the youth leader's going, oh, son, that's wonderful. Oh, son, ain't God good? Oh, that's great, wonderful. And they keep going down the line. Finally, it comes to him. And, I mean, he's feeling so ashamed of himself because, I mean, he lied about it. He really wasn't saved. He lied about it last night. And he knew he wouldn't have to do it again, but he just couldn't bear the thought to, right in front of all of his friends, tell him that he's not saved. So he gave his little story, and man, they even said, amen, son, that's good, Mark. And they just went on by. He said, oh, my soul, I'm glad that's over with. Well, surely he won't make us do that no more. Well, they went to bed that night and got up the next morning. Oh, just a delicious camp breakfast. Oh, I mean, Mama couldn't even make one that good. And then had games and preaching and wonderful day service that night. Wonderful preaching. God was moving, doing some great things. Kids that were dismissed to have some time at the snack bar. Then they were dismissed to go back to their dormitories. And the leader pulled them together and said, boys, man, this is a great week. God's doing some great things. But we need to have a prayer before we go to bed. So let's come on together. Let's go ahead and have prayer. And he led in prayer. And he says, boys, he said, last couple of nights I heard your testimonies. And, oh, I just can't tell you how much I enjoyed them. I want to hear them again. My friend says, he said, I couldn't even. He said, I felt like if I lied about it again, it was over. Now, he said, I am like sweating bullets. What am I supposed to do? God knows that I ain't saved. I don't want to let my friends know. He said, but I felt like if I just didn't confess it, it was it. He said, I was under terrible, terrible conviction. So my buddies are giving their testimonies, and finally it comes to him, and he says, and while his buddies are giving their testimonies, I mean, he's trying to find a way to weasel out, and he just kind of bows his head and closes his eyes, and while his buddies are testifying, he just says, Lord, in his heart and mind, he's saying, Lord, you know I've been lying the last couple of nights. And Lord, you know, and I know that I really hadn't been saved. Dear God, I'm so sorry I lied about it. Oh, Lord God, if you'll just forgive me and save me, please, please. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Boy, he's just, you know, nobody knows this is going on. He's just all, you know, concealed. And boy, he just gets saved, and man, he's just like a ton of bricks been lifted up off of him. His buddies are giving their testimonies, and finally the leader says, Mark, we want to hear your testimony. And Mark looks at him and his buddies and he says, well, my testimony is, I just got saved. What? He said, I just got saved. I've been lying the last couple of nights. You know how it gets? And then all of a sudden one of his buddies says, you know, I've been lying too. I'm really not saved. And I need to get saved. And another one of his buddies says, me too. I've been lying about it. I think even the youth pastor got saved. And I'm just kidding about that. Amen. Now, folks, listen, you're never going to have real faith unless you've been really born again. Amen. Now, I'm telling you what, I don't believe in preaching doubt. I'm not going to be that kind of preacher. But I do want you to make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen. And God wants to give you absolute full assurance. I told you yesterday, the only way God knows how to save you is eternally. He don't even know how to save you halfway. Amen. That's not the kind of God. That's not the kind of salvation He does. He is going to save you eternally. And once you get that real salvation, that real faith nailed down, then you can expect an unfeigned faith. And that's what he says to Timothy. He says, son, what I see in you is unfeigned faith. Amen? Unfeigned. The scriptures teach us to do that. And then as we taught yesterday, after salvation, we're told to add to our faith according to the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Do you realize, friends, that the Lord God Almighty, has chosen to accomplish His work on this earth through people of faith. Amen. I mean, listen, go all the way back. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. And it goes all the way back to Abel. And the Bible says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. God has chosen to accomplish His work on with people of faith. People that believe. Oh, I tell you, my friend, listen, we can trace the steps back to the people all the way through the Bible, going all the way back. Faith, faith. Amen. Faith. What is it? We don't even have to guess what it is. We don't even have to make up our own definition what it is. The Bible tells us what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And then we begin to read in that great chapter of Hebrews chapter number 11 of all the things that were accomplished through faith. And if there's anything that's under attack today, look at me, it's your faith. We want to doubt. Can God really do it? I'm telling you, friend, God stands on His Word. Oh, listen to me. The Bible says that we live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We live by faith. I'm telling you, friend, I am so convinced of it. Listen, every second that my heart is working to pump blood to my organs, it's because of God. Listen, what the reason my eyes can see, it's because of God. The reasons why my lungs can take in air and put out air is because of God. The reason I can take every step, everything that we do. By the way, the Bible says all things consist because of Him. We live our lives by faith. Not only that, but according to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, God has chosen to accomplish His work in this world through people of faith. We just can't see it. We can't see it visibly. We see it in the Word of God. And we have these things that we feel like God is prompting us to do. And we just step out by faith. And we see the Lord work. I remember hearing a story about a missionary on the mission field. And was able to have a ministry that impacted a multitude of people. And he said, and this is the way I built every building I used to be able to do the work of God. I'd buy me a shovel, and I'd start digging a ditch. I'd lay out the parameters. I'd lay out the footers, and I'd start digging a ditch. And I'd say, now, Lord, when this ditch is done, I'm going to need some concrete. And God would supply the concrete. And as they were pouring the concrete, he'd say, now, Lord God, when this concrete is done, I'm going to need some lumber to go up with the walls. And then God would supply the lumber to go up the walls. He'd say, now, Lord, once these walls are done, I'm going to need some trusses. And boy, when the trusses were delivered, he'd say, Lord God, when we get the trusses set, we're going to need some decking. And we're going to need some roofing. And we're going to need some chairs. And he said, every single building that I built on the mission field was done that way. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says we stand by faith, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, we please God by faith, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God has chosen to accomplish His work in this world through people of faith. That's why we grab a hold of our Bibles and we read our Bibles. God tells us to do that. And we're going to experience a transformation when we do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world fashion you. Don't let this world put their marks on you. Shake the world off.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Faith. We please God by faith. The Bible says we conquer by faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's what we need. We need a revival of faith. Do you realize, friend, that God has a will for every single person here today? I'm looking at these precious little children on this second row. And I'm telling you, God has an amazing will for these children. This fine young man right here, God has a will for him. Whether you're 8 or you're 88, look at me. God has a will for your life. But look at me. If you don't have faith, if you don't have unfeigned faith, you're not going to see it that way. The Lord has put in my life some of the most amazing people. Some of the most amazing people. And they just challenge me. And you know what? All of them are older than me. And I'm getting old. I'm thinking about my boyhood pastor. He's 87 years old. 87 years old, Brother Sylvester Matthews. Now, nobody really knows Brother Matthews. He pastored that church now. He's been the emeritus pastor now for a number of years. He teaches a Sunday school, and he teaches algebra in the Christian school. He loves to teach algebra. He loves that kind of stuff. What's wrong with him? Amen. But anyway, I mean, he just loves that. He's just an educator. Graduated from the University of Texas with a mechanical engineering degree. And I mean, he just loves to give himself to those kids at the academy there. Just a great man. And I'm telling you, listen, he is building a conference center to conduct marriage seminars at 87. My mentor, Dr. Boyd, built the Mount Salem Revival Grounds when he was 68 years old. One of my mentors, Dr. Wendell Runyon, he operates WKJV. You can tell where he stands, amen. WKJV, big AM station in Asheville, North Carolina. Now he bought another one a few years ago. He's like real old. He's like 68. Oh, I'm kidding. I don't really know how old Dr. Runyon is, but he's getting up there. And he just recently said, Brother Oliver, he said, I'm moving to FM now. I got these two big giant AM stations. He says, and man, we're filling it with the gospel. And now I got me an FM station now. And they have built over 200 churches using national pastors in places where it's like impossible, like in Lebanon. And Egypt, amen. I mean, in tough places of the world. That is the kind of people that God puts into my life. These old, dear saints, unfeigned faith that says, I'm going to go forward. And God has a plan for every single one of us. I remember my mentor. He said, God didn't call me to retire. He said, I'm just going to retread. Amen. And he did that till he went to glory. You see, God has chosen people of faith to accomplish his will. But not only do we have a will for us, but friend, and we have to have faith that he does, we believe it. When he prompts us, when he burdens our heart. Oh, preacher, you know what it's like when a young man comes to you. I'm sure you've heard it many times through the years here. Boy, they'll come to you, be a little bit fidgety, and they'll start saying things like, oh, preacher, how do you know if God's calling you to preach? And then, you know, just kind of, well, son, this or this or this. And maybe a week later they'll come and say, preacher, how do you know? How do you know? Well, most of the time when they start asking questions, how do you know? How do you know when God's calling you to preach? Guess what God's doing? God's calling to preach. But God just doesn't call young people. I'm thinking back at one of those youth rallies that I preached there in Parkersburg. I remember I gave the invitation. I felt like the invitation locked up on me. Two people walked forward on that invitation. I was expecting all of them to come forward because of the Word of God, not because of me. But the kids didn't move
that too good that day, but two of them moved. Number one was a dear friend of mine's son had gone into rebellion and came back and rededicated his life. And man, I tell you what, it stuck. He's in a full-time ministry now. And then there was a man back then, probably it's been several years ago now, and I think he was probably facing retirement. He's probably about 65 years old. He walked forward. You know his name? Who is? Jeremiah Lawson. I remember when Jeremiah Lawson, probably at about 50, maybe not even 60, walked an aisle and said, "I'm surrendering to full-time service." Now he's retired. And you know what he's doing? He's preaching in prisons and jails and seeing multitudes of people saved every year. God has a will for your life. But if you don't have the faith, you're not going to see it. And you'll just float through life and never see the victories. And then lastly, what I want you to understand is that God does literally speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word. His Word, as it's preached, as we think about it, as we meditate upon it, the Holy Ghost of God will bear down on us and He'll say, "You need to think serious about this. You need to think serious about it." And I remember when my parents, when, you know, they were really, had gotten out of church and then got back in church, and it was a good, sound church. And I remember when, you know, we started, these issues started coming in to our home, and my dad started changing things. And we didn't understand all the change, but I mean, we began to see, I mean, literally our whole family life changed because of the Word of God preached. And folks, God will take His Word and will bear upon your heart and soul, and He'll begin to change you. All of a sudden, I remember when my dad, now this, you know, say what you want to say, but they were backslidden, but I remember when my dad used to say, "Son, I want you to go to Little Cornerstone and buy me a pack of cigarettes." I mean, I wouldn't think nothing of it. He'd give me some money, and I'd go around the corner and buy a pack of cigarettes. And then my dad said, "You know, it ain't right to smoke." So then you know what he started doing? He started chewing. And he'd say, "Son, here, take this and go buy me a pack of Red Man." And then all of a sudden, my dad said, "You know, I'm not going to chew tobacco no more." And I literally saw the Lord transforming my dad through the Word of God, through the teaching of the Scriptures. Folks, we just have to believe that when the preaching is going forth and the Word of God is taught and the Lord God is bearing upon me and He's pointing things out, He's saying, "No, stop that. Don't do that. Start doing that." That's how you have a transformation. But if you don't have the faith to believe that the Word of God can do that, then you'll be a carnal person. And you might be one of those where it's said, he doesn't have unfeigned faith. No unfeigned faith there. You see, Paul said to Timothy, "Son, what I see in you is what I saw in your grandmother. Unfeigned faith. What I see in you, I saw in your mother. Unfeigned faith." Now, did you ever think? He didn't ever say anything about his dad. His dad is mentioned. He was a Greek, it appears. He came from a situation where maybe his mother was saved and his daddy was lost. And we don't find anywhere in the Word of God where, you know, that Timothy had the support of his father, earthly father. So I know that's like some people say, well, if I came from that right kind of a home, I could be a Christian like that too. But Timothy didn't use that as an excuse. He went forward. Faith. Faith. I believe that God will put in our hearts to do many things. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God will put in our hearts the desire for a young man to preach. He'll put in people's desire, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be a singer. I want to sing in the choir. And whatever I need to do to be able to operate in a position of leadership in the local church, I'll give it up. I want to serve God, whatever it is. If I need to make my testimony right, I'll do it. You know why? Faith. Unfeigned faith. So let's look inside and say, Lord, what can be said about me? Am I an example like Timothy where somebody can say, I know them. They are unfeigned faith. Remember what Jesus said? When He comes, will He find faith on the earth? And he had believed in that passage. He's particularly talking about working faith. Working faith. God has chosen to accomplish His work in this world through people of faith. And our faith comes under attack. Our faith gets weak. That's why we need a refreshing. And we need prayer. And we need just to have those reset times. My prayer life is waning. My passion for souls isn't what it needs to be. I know what the Bible says, so I'm going to get back to it. And we make those attempts, and we begin to see victories. Unfeigned faith. Now, just imagine right now if I said, okay, we're going to start with this young man. What's your name? Elijah. I said, Elijah, come on up here and give us your testimony of salvation. And I said, then we're going to start right here next. And started giving everybody come up here. Now don't worry, don't freak out. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I'm not going to have you do it. But would you be like my friend? Oh. Or would you have a testimony of salvation? Because you're not going to have unfeigned faith without that. Amen. I was preaching a revival meeting in a town up in Washington State, not too far, just outside of Seattle, Tacoma area. God gave us a good revival meeting. And I gave a particular invitation. I said, listen, what I want you to do is I want y'all to come to the altar here, and I just want you to share your testimonies with each other, just to make sure that everybody in the home is safe. Just make sure. Husbands, just make sure your wife's got a testimony. Wives, make sure, ask your husband about his testimony. Whoever's leading that, make sure the kids have got testimonies. And I mean, it was a sweet time. People were at the altar. Folks were getting things right. It was a sweet, sweet time. An old-time preacher by the name of Brother Walt Stowe, he was pastor of the church then, Calvary Baptist Church in Roy, Washington. Somebody posted that story about that happening on Facebook one time, and it was amazing to hear all the posts of people reminiscing about it. And there was a friend of mine there, a wealthy family. They owned a couple of RV dealers, and I saw him grab his wife's hand like this, and he did exactly what I asked him to do. Ask your wife, ask your husband if they're saved. So he leaned over and he talked to his wife. I knew what he was probably going to say. I'd asked him to do that, and she didn't respond. And I just happened to catch this. I'm looking at everything and directing the invitation, and then I saw him lean over again and talk to his wife again, and she didn't respond. And then he got in her face, honey, you know, like, are you saved? And I mean, this lady just bursted out with emotion. Oh, I'm not saved. I mean, it was like, pow, just explosive. And I remember both of them knelt in the center of the altar there, and that sweet, dear lady got saved. Amen. I remember her walking, weeping as she walked up the stairs to get baptized. Real faith. But it doesn't happen unless you had a real salvation. God has chosen to accomplish His work in this world through people of faith. unfeigned faith. Do you have a desire to be that way? What is it that God is speaking to your heart about? You know, there has been a message that the Holy Ghost of God has been preaching to you probably for the last 3 months or 6 months. And He keeps nailing you about it. Over and over again, He's telling you. He's preaching to you. And He's waiting for you to respond. And it takes faith. I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we prepare for an invitation tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder tonight how many of you could honestly say, Brother Oliver, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. And I'm so thankful that I can go back to a time and place where I know I was born again. I have a testimony of salvation, and I could tell it. Would you lift your hand up as a testimony? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? God bless you. Put your hands down. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder this evening, maybe there'd be one or more here say, Preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, I can see in some areas of my life, my faith has gotten weak. And God has convicted me about it. My faith has gotten weak. And I need a refreshing, I need a reset button in faith. Would you let me pray for you? Lift your hand up real high. God bless you. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Good, good. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this evening, you know what I'd like to ask you to do? Before we go there, let me ask you this. Would there be anyone here tonight you'd say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not even a Christian. If something tragic were to happen to me, I don't even know for sure that I would go to heaven. But I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be saved, and I need to be saved, and I believe that God is speaking to my heart, prompting me to be saved. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that tonight? Anybody? Anybody? Lift your hand up real high. Make sure that I see your hand. Anybody at all? Amen. Faith. That's the only way we can go forward is faith. That's why we're going to read our Bibles, because we have faith. That's why we're going to maintain a prayer life, because we have faith. That's why we're going to give our tithes and offerings, because we have faith. That's why we're going to support missions, because we have faith. That's why I'm going to give a gospel witness and fill my pockets with tracts, because I've got faith. God has chosen to accomplish His work in this world through people of faith. And what we need is that unfeigned faith. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Here's what I'd like to do tonight. I'm going to have a prayer here in just a moment. Ask the Lord's blessing on the invitation. Then I'd like to just encourage the families tonight. Would you be just willing to come up and gather your families here at this old-fashioned altar. And let's just make sure that everybody knows the Lord here. Amen. Everybody in your family that you just know the Lord, that you know that everybody's been approached, that everybody's been loved, that everybody's just, somebody has just had concern for them and just said, Lord, I just want my family to be in heaven with me. Maybe you're here as a Christian, and maybe there's something that you need to give up that God has been prompting you to give up. Maybe there's something that you need to start. Not that I have preached, but what the Holy Ghost of God has preached to you already. People of faith. I'm gonna ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we come to you, Lord, now and asking, Lord, for help, dear God, in this invitation time. Father, we need faith. Lord, we need to be challenged in our faith. Lord, we walk by faith. We live by faith. We conquer by faith. We give by faith. And so many times, Lord, we just come to standstills in our Christian life because we're not willing to take those steps of faith Help us, dear God, tonight. Do a search deep within us. Convict us and lead us and guide us and help us. We pray, dear God, for Grace Baptist and for Pastor Vaughn and Brother LeBou and all the workers and teachers, dear God. Increase our faith. And Lord God, may you give them an abundance of souls and continue to do a greater work here, we pray. Bless this invitation. Your will be done is our prayer. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays for us and we give the invitation, won't you just come tonight, gather, and let's just make sure that everybody in the household is saved. And if we need just a special touch of faith, let's receive it tonight. Let's ask for it. As the ladies play, you come.